when Sark turned his hot gaze upon me and asked me what I had done of late to save the world, I, in a spirit of trying to play along, began to tell an edited version of the story of the descent of the glacier. I left out any mention of bolt, cord, and sphere, and I intended to leave out the story of Dag's death, or his being left for dead. But as I went on, I found myself unable to tell the story without including that part of it. It just fell out of me, like an intestine that keeps uncoiling from the belly of a wounded animal. The whole thing had gone out of control. I'd intended to play along as a sort of intellectual parlor game, but my emotions had taken over and dictated what I would say. Something about the whole setup of this arc, I realized, too late, was designed to play on such emotions. I wasn't the first stranger to walk into one of these meetings and spill his guts. They expected it. They counted on it. It was why this Kelx had lasted 2,000 years. When I had finished, I looked over at Alwash, expecting to see a triumphant look on his face. Yeah, he'd gotten me but good. But he didn't look that way at all, just serious and a little sad, like he had known what would happen. He had done it before. He'd had it done to him. The silence that followed was long, but did not feel awkward. Then Magister Sark told me that it wasn't clear I had done anything wrong at all, given the circumstances. I understood this to mean that when the magistrate had heard the story of Braj, Vit, Laro, and Dag from the condemned man, he had not construed it to mean that the latter should be executed. At worst, it was neutral testimony. I felt hugely relieved at this, and in the next moment hated myself for being emotionally manipulated by a witch doctor. If I were still feeling badly about it, Sark concluded, I should try to put on a better showing the next time the condemned man saw fit to relate some part of my affairs in that celestial court. Some of the others had even worse stories to tell to the magister. I could not believe some of what I heard. I wasn't the only first-timer in this congregation. It had been clear from the smirks on others' faces that they too had been dragooned into coming here. I suspected that some were embellishing their stories, just to see if they could freak out the magister. Apparently the rule for these services was that after all present had stated what they had to state, the magister would wind things up with a rip-roar.
"It has been our way since of old to say that the day of the magistrate's final judgment is coming. It is forever coming. But today I tell you that it is here. Signs and portents have made it plain. The magistrate, or his bailiff, has been sighted in the heavens above. He has turned his red eye upon the avowed in their conscience and rendered his judgment upon them. Now he turns his eye upon the rest of us. The so-called warden of heaven has gone before him to make his entreaties, and the magistrate has seen him for what he is and cast him out in wrath. What shall he make of you who are gathered together in this cabin? On his final day before that court, of whom shall the condemned man speak? Shall he tell of you, Vit, and of your doings? To prove that he and all his creations are worthy of life, shall he tell of you, Trade, or you, Theris, or you, Everell? Shall it be your doings on the final day that tip the scales of judgment one way or the other?
It was a tough question. Was meant to be. Magister Sark had no intention of answering it. Instead, he looked long and deep into each man's eyes. Except for mine. I was staring at a bulkhead, trying to figure out what he'd meant. The magistrate had been seen in the heavens. The warden of heaven had been cast out in wrath. Was I supposed to read those statements literally? If something bad had happened to the warden of heaven, what did it mean for Jessery? I was desperate to know. I didn't dare ask. When it was over, I was too drained to move. As the cabin emptied out, I sat slumped against a steel bulkhead, letting the ship's engines jiggle my brain around. One of the other Kedevs had been talking to Allwash. When the cabin was nearly empty, they approached me. I sat up and tried to muster strength to fight back another religious harangue. This new guy's name was Malter.
"I was wondering," Malter said, "are you one of the avowed?"
I did not move or speak. I was trying to remember what the Kelks thought of us.
"Well, the reason I ask," Malter went on, "is that there were rumors going around town before we shipped out that an avowed in disguise had come down the glacier in the last few days and got into trouble just like what you described."
I was startled. Not for long. It was easy to imagine Lero raving to anyone who would listen about his bizarre and tragic adventure with the avowed who called himself Vit. Maybe I raised an eyebrow or something.
"I've always wanted to meet an avowed," Malter said. "I think it would be an honor."
"Well," I said, "you just met one."